Okay, can you hear? How was that?
Yep.
Can you hear?
And had a lot of chicken coops there. And
we would, at 7 or 8 years old, we would hang out, have little clubs in the chicken coops. And we would rally there a couple times a week because somebody would say, let's go to the chicken coop tomorrow morning. So we all made it to the chicken coop. And we would tell stories of our family, what was going on in our house. That's all we knew. So some of the stories that went on there were just pretty ridiculous because our parents were ridiculous. You know? So we could relate to them. And we tried to figure out how do we relate to these people. So we said, one of the questions that was asked was, what is this? When you grow up, what are you afraid of? What's the worst thing that could happen to you when you grow up? And so I went around the room and it got to me and I said, well, for me it would be, what if you got married and you had, you married and you had a daughter and your daughter married a black man. How would that be? That's the worst thing that could have happened. That's really the worst thing that could happen to me. So the kids looked at me, you know, and said, yeah, I can't understand that. I don't understand that. Well, came to Christ and came to Houston. And I was 5 years at Atlanta and we moved to Houston. And we no sooner got to Houston where my 18-year-old, now 18-year-old Kelly, was with us, and she got a job at Walgreens. And at Walgreens, she ran into a man there, a young man, and she got into a relationship with him, and came home, and little by little, we discovered that this relationship was going on, and so I addressed it with her. Didn't go very well because she was kind of run down the road a little bit with it. And I got on a mission at that point to get rid of him. So I did everything I possibly could, including sending the Bible school in Arkansas. And I had him come over the house and I told him about our culture. How great a difficult it is to raise a marriage anyway, but when you got a black person, a white person, different culture, I went to a Christian, non-Christian, I went to a trying to get him out of my house to get out of my wife. Anyway, I was with my daughter one day, and I can remember the point, and I was sitting in a chair, and she looked at me, and she said, Dad, I had a question for you. He said, if I marry Titus, will you love me less? It was almost heartbreaking for me. Almost for my work. And I looked at myself and I said, God, I said, Kelly, I can't love you less. I'm a follower of Christ. How can I love you less? Well, if that's the case, I'm gonna marry you. So you gotta do what you gotta do. But it was a point of life change for me that when I addressed it and could see it, I could change. You see, this is what brings about change. You not only can read about it in the Bible and you read these verses, but God has to use them and bring them into us so that we can see how we live the change. What does life look like? And this is in my heart. My heart turned over at that point. And I said, Lord, I don't have him. I don't have any of your love. So we're talking about the chart and I'm going from the four stages. I had zero and I was a believer. So I was 6 years into the process at this point. So life went along, and just before she got ready to leave, Kelly is a beautiful person. She's quiet, and she is also always concerned about everyone. She was a good fit in our family. And I got a phone call from her one day, and she said, "Dad, I'm at the airport." I said, "At the airport? What are you doing there?" He said, "I just dropped the car off, and I'm not at the airport. The car is at the airport, and I'm in Atlanta." I said, "Atlanta? What are you doing in Atlanta?" She said, "Well, Scott and I, we got married, and we're here in Atlanta, and I left the car at the airport." "The car at the airport? Where?" "In the red parking lot, space 32. I said, "Are you kidding me? You left my car at the airport? You mean I have to go to the airport and pick up my car? Is that what you're trying to tell me?" I couldn't handle that. I was more like an idiot. This is ridiculous, you know? I mean, I can't believe God would do this to me. So I'm standing there in the room, and at that time I had telephones. And I took the telephone, you know, I had one. I couldn't, it was like it was hot. I couldn't keep it in one hand. And I put it up in the air, talking to him. "I can't believe this, Kelly." I said, "Let me write this down. Where is it?" So I wrote it down. I could hardly write on a piece of paper. And I hung the phone up on it, and I stood at the bed. The bed was here, and I just put my arms up, and I flopped in the back of the bed. I just flopped it. I looked up at the guy, and I said, "What are you doing to me? What are you doing?" So he says, "Well, I don't think he said well." he said, "Dave, you memorizing a verse right now." "Yeah, so well, what is it?" "Yeah, Philippians 3:10. Says, what does it say? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death." Philippians 3:10. Now the first part of that verse says that I may know him. And the reason this is my heart. My heart is I want to know this guy. So I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. So he says, okay, let's go through the verse. Okay, Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And he said, stop. He said, now you're beginning to understand my suffering, how I suffer with my children all throughout the earth. This is where I suffer. I suffer with them all the time. And this is what you need to learn, is to suffer with your children the same way. Phew. That was pretty amazing, huh? So I got up off the bed. From there, came forward, looked, stood up, brushed my clothes off, and I had it. What did I have? Purpose and understanding. And I understood what this meant. So from that point, it was a major mark in understanding what suffering is. He suffers continually with all of us. This is the heart of God. So this relationship with Kelly and Ash is gone. Not there anymore. And so she's not there, she's married. I don't really have too much to do with her, really, because I still have. I'm not all the way there with her. So 2 years later, I went to Colorado, and I was at a meeting there, and a man was speaking, and he talked about Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. So I think we'll turn to that. If you have a Bible, this Bible, by the way, the Bible is It's a tremendous book I love.
Okay, what verses?
Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. I'm taking a second, I'm going to find it in my Bible and have it open down. Okay, I'll read it to you. To go back again, just for a moment, where I was in that last story, is I'm very thankful for people that helped me to memorize the Word of God, because when we memorize it, God often gives us experiences in the verses that we're memorizing. I've had that happen a number of times. In case that we probably have too. But so here, amen, back there?
Amen.
I'm not that religious, but
yeah, we agree.
Amen. Did I get a hallelujah?
Wow.
Preacher brother.
Okay, now you're gonna shut me up in that temple. Five years. And I said, I do that. So, and I walked out and I was weeping, and I don't like to cry in front of people. I don't cry very much. I don't like to cry in front of people. In my culture, we don't do that. So I looked over to the window. There was a window there. I looked out the window and got my bearings and got back in the seat. But it was finished. Over. And I have such a love relationship with her now. It's unbelievable how good it is. The two children. This is kind of hard. She married a Japanese guy. That's the guy she's married to now. She married a black guy. You're going to marry a Hispanic guy. I've married all these people in my life. I'm not Caucasian. And I love them. I love all of them. And God has given me this through this process. You know, I was raised in a family of major dysfunction. And these things were imparted to me. And now here I am, a Christian, and I have to live and I have to heal from these things to be able to be pleasing to God. And so, 5 years. So 2 years later, I'm back there again. This is God. 2 years later, I'm back there again. And they're in the same place, the same setting, like the room, like the symbol to this, kind of like this. Lunchroom. And so I'm back in the lunchroom and I'm looking around and I said, well, this, I remember that 2 years ago when this happened, you know, I'm going back reminiscing. I looked under the window and in the restoration process, someone had painted an eagle. It had Isaiah 27 through 31 written underneath the eagle, the window. So I looked over there and I said, you're just amazing. So personally, you out of me. So it's these kinds of experiences that when we get into this process of learning, that God gets hold of us and he starts revealing himself personally in a personal way to all of everything that we do. So he's a personal God. He's a God that wants to be involved with us in everything that we do. And so this is the way that we get there and arrive there is through this process of suffering. I thought that he was kind of like Santa Claus. Really. I mean, I thought, and this is when I would walk around my room in the old days of Kelly with my fist closed. I mean, I'd say, what are you doing to me? Why are you doing this to me? I know you can change this. I know you can change, you can make, I know you can do that, but you're not. You're not answering my prayers, you're not listening to me. I mean, this is where I was. So from there, I didn't understand, this is understanding is what it's called. So we have to understand the heart of God and how he works to be able to really walk with him. And so this is the process, which is pretty painful. It's not easy stuff to go through. Could you put up the next overhead? I talked to Kelly, by the way, coming down here, and she said, remember to tell him that I suffered a lot too, Dad. She did. And that was me. It was pretty fun suffering. Through wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, I've got that kind of up a little, it's not that way in the Bible. Through understanding, it's established, and by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So basically, that's the psalm is talking here about a house, but the house is being built inside of us. So it's a spiritual house, and it's also the physical house. Those are transferable concepts. So the house inside of me is being built, and it's built through wisdom. So But God gives us the wisdom to build this house showing our inside. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the foundation is being laid, which is Jesus Christ, and the foundation of the house. And the foundation has to be laid. The foundation is usually laid in a discipleship process when you're with another person and you're working this out with someone else. It's hard to grasp it sometimes, but through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Established is firm or permanent. It's a permanent structure. So when these things get in here, when I'm talking about these things, this is the building of the internal house that's going on inside of me. It's a permanent structure as this goes along. So understanding it is established, and by knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. It's sad to say that we have a world full of Christians that have knowledge. Very little wisdom, very little understanding, as I go around and meet and listen to believers. So this is what God is looking for us to understand His ways. And what I asked them to communicate this week is to help me, to help them understand these things. So understand Him and what He's doing and His work and His labor that He's doing day by day. All God is doing right now, His major work in the world right now is us, the believers. I mean, He's going to bring some lost people, bring lost people in to the fold. But it's us that He's preparing for the future in heaven. That's the Word of God. So, by knowledge, the rooms are filled. Psalm 119:34, which this is where I began to understand. I help me understand, Lord, what You're doing here. Would You please help me understand this? He wants me. He doesn't have to do this, but He will often give me the understanding. Give me understanding, and I will keep Your law. Indeed, I will observe it with my whole heart. I'll be wholehearted if I understand it. Don't you think that's true? Yeah. I mean, if you don't understand it, how can you be wholehearted? I don't know. I can't. Close with 1 Peter 5:10. You have that memorized, Rick?
That's the one verse I have not memorized.
I thought you, Rick. I thought you had the whole Bible. Done. Rick is really great. He's a grammar guy. I tell you, he's got the verses. And he's really loves to memorize the Word of God. Is there a joke back there?
Well, his memory's great in the Bible.
Yeah. You're right.
His memory's great in the Bible.
Can't remember anything else. You remember all the verses. That's the value of women, you know. I'm going to keep this track. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. So 1 Peter 5:10 says, but may the God of all grace, all grace is over all this, who called us to His eternal glory. This is the calling of our future. He's called us not to hear, but to eternal glory. That's the calling of God. You're called to that, to the future. You're not called to, you're called, you're living day to day. It's not just calling. Our calling is way out there somewhere. And so that's why every day is important to us. Then it says, by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, I don't know what a little while is. It could be in thousands of years, maybe, you know, how many thousands. What is that? I don't know. But maybe this is that kind of little while. I don't think it is. But it's a little while. After you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and 70. So this is where, this is the work of God, what God is doing, what he wants to do in us. Settle is, means reaching agreement. We'll be in agreement together on all these things that I'm talking about. Not, I don't get it. I mean, it's the opposite. I don't get it. We settle on what he has to say. Okay, I have like a minute, a couple minutes left. So, anyone want to throw anything out of here? Let's go. It's a lot here to go over in the program.
I think one of the things that God might be was working on you is not to be a big bigot what you would bring.
Yeah, that's pretty direct, isn't it? Well, that's sitting around that.
Yeah,
I didn't even say that.
She said that I used to be everyone have to be Archie Bunker.
I'm going to be full and bigger. That's what, yeah, that's not that about it. My wife always used to be back down in the album.
Thank you,
Johnny. Yeah, Dad.
You defined correct suffering as patiently enduring the circumstance. What's incorrect suffering from your view?
Okay, well, that's a good question. That's I've got to fix this. I got to fix it. I don't care what it takes. Case of beer? No porn? I gotta fix it. I gotta do something with it. I can't live with this. I cannot live with this any longer. This pain is so much and I'm suffering so much. I can't live with it.
You gave an example yesterday about your hard heart.
Yeah, my rock hard heart. Yeah. The rock hard is what I'm talking about. Yes. So it's an unwillingness. I'm not going to suffer.
So how important is surrendering to the suffering?
But then,
how important is surrendering to the suffering?
Well, surrender is a great word. In fact, if there was one thing God is looking for from us, is the surrender of our will. That's way out there. But, I mean, that's really what comes out to that. That's what he'd like that. If we willfully surrender to him. Yes, Josh?
Dave, I see you talk about wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Where did emotion come into this journey? I heard you have to be pretty emotional following previous being mad at God, and then I saw you get emotional now after this journey. How did it emerge? Because I'm seeing wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and emotion in this journey.
Well, God has given us emotions. In other words, we all have emotions. Most men only have two. You want to guess what they are? Fear and anger. That's it. Only two. That's what I had in 3 years. Fear and anger. I was angry in my past. I had anger down in there. That rock was full of anger. And then on the other side is fear. Fear that I had all kinds of fears out here, which is all future. Anger is all past. So I had no empathy. I had very little affirmation. I had almost no affirmation, actually. I trained in affirmation in my tennis career because I had to tell people they were doing well. I could fake it out, but in my heart, I don't know.
So, are you saying that it was detrimental to the process?
Well, to be a whole human being, in other words, we have to experience the emotions of life. In other words, otherwise, inside, when I was shut down, I was emotionally shut down. I hadn't had those two. So I could get pissed at you, and I could get angry. And I could spare for out here, and this is what drove me. I was driven by those two emotions, but I didn't even know what they were. I couldn't put a name on them. Yeah.
But you learned other emotions?
Yes.
You learned?
Yes. I understood what they were. God began bringing them up in my own life, like when I stood here, I can think of Kelly and my love for her. I have emotions now. So that's something that God stirred in me and healed me.
Did a person need that, it's very easy to get stuck, or when you take this detour into addictions, you know, you come to a decision point, pain, and you say, okay, I've got to do something with this pain, and I'm either going to do something that is destructive, that makes me feel better temporarily, or I'm going to do something that I know is not destructive, but doesn't make the pain go away. And this is the part that I think that where a lot of people disconnect, and their spiritual growth is, I'm speaking personally, your spiritual growth ends, it stops.
Yes, that's very well said. That's where it stops. That's exactly where it stops. That's very well said. That's right.
Great. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, so why don't you stand up and repeat
well,
that?
Well, he wants it to go on the tape.
So you want to go on the tape? Okay. Let's see if I can repeat that. At the point of suffering where we decide that we're not going to go any further with it, this is where our spiritual growth ends. Because whatever the addiction is starts taking over, and you're not going to have any spiritual growth. And your addiction. Not much happens there. It's not good. But it comforts us for a little bit. See, in other words, it comforts. It makes us. And it can be, when you know all the addictions, which some of you guys in AA know one addiction, and they know all the other addictions too. You know, religion's addiction, work. Many food, okay, you know, on and on addictions. And get in a place, and God says, I will have no idols. I'll no idols before. So if you're going to idolize your addictions, you stop your words. You don't go any further. Whatever it is. Yeah, great.
If you say anger is an emotion of the past and fear is an emotion of the future, is there an emotion for the present?
Maybe the walking in the Spirit of God, which is.
But acceptance.
Acceptance? Good question, huh? You kind of stumped the bottle, did you?
Isn't that joy?
Yeah,
I'd say
joy,
right? I mean, Philippians 4:4, rejoice.
Yeah.
Say it again.
No joy, that's for sure.
It's rejoice.
No fruit of the Spirit. Some addictions are not as visible as others. In other words, if you're an alcoholic and hanging around with people and you're flopping all over the floor, I mean, you got a pretty good idea of an addiction, right?
Right.
So, and food addictions and some of the addictions, but there are many other addictions that are not visible. And I think we have to be able to decide, what is this?
Like
what am I putting?
Media, Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, all of it is fine. The whole thing is fine. A drink is fine. Everything's fine. we can go into that. That's a whole other teaching. But when you get into that, you realize, yeah, I'm free here, man. But God doesn't want me off the edge on anything.
Just keep reminding y'all, if you haven't made it by that book table, there's a lot of good wisdom on that book table. And then there is a little box you can put some money in. There's also a little IOU, yeah, pad, that if you don't have any cash, just write it on there and you can send it in to Dana at some later point. And then family dodgeball today at 1:30. We do have the father-son high school and young singles are invited as well for the volleyball game at 3:30. And there's testimonies following that, men's and women's testimony. Do we know where the, typically the men kind of hang out right there. Do we know where the women are going to go? Okay, we'll figure that out on the fly.
They got
to take care of it. Okay, and then so now we have our workshops available. And if you flip over on the back of your schedule, I don't know if you have them, so I'll just kind of give you a clue in on what's going on again and remind you. But we have Jay Baker speaking about purposes, not goals. And objectives, and that's going to be actually right over here where this group of chairs is located. And then we have Gary and Terry Cutbirth talking about walking together through challenging seasons. That's actually going to be right over here on this side. And then just today only, we have Russell and Renee speaking about Brandon, speaking about discovering hope for those in addiction. That's going to be in Calvarm 1, which is that direction right there. If you just go past the kids, I think there's the horse barn, and then the other side of that's the cow barn. If you just get over there on that road and walk up, it'll be on your left. And Donna Rathkamp and Jenny Sawyer and Nancy Baker are going to speak about hospitality, what it is and what it isn't. And that's in the Grace Room. Where's that one? Oh, Winflato? Oh, that front room in Winflato. So head to Winflato, kind of middle of the building, and it'll be the first room you walk in if you come in from the side. Where we check in? The room behind where we check in. Okay. All right, and I think that's it. Anybody have anything else to share? All right, I think we're good. Enjoy your workshops.